Anne-Marie and birthday on Vibe Breakfast. If it is your birthday, stay at home still. Just use one of the, like, Zoomy apps or the group calling apps and have a party with all your friends that way. Okay, it's 7 minutes past eight, and our very special Friday guest, every Friday at the moment through the coronavirus pandemic, is Watford MP Dean Russell. Dean, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Thanks, Miles. Yeah, good, thank you. It's been a busy week, as you can imagine, but it's very fulfilling with the amount of volunteering that I've seen and been fortunate to be part of.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you get out to clap last night? It was loud around Watford again, which was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I put on my Twitter feed last night, I wasn't just clapping for the doctors and nurses, which of course is key, but, you know, for everyone involved in the NHS and for carers and social carers as well. So pharmacists, the drivers, the paramedics, the porters, because it's a massive team effort that's going on at the moment, and I can't applaud them enough, to be honest. I'd be out there every minute of every day if it would be useful to them, but it probably wouldn't be. but seriously, but I also know with these things, because I speak to the Watford General Hospital team very regularly, probably on a daily basis at times, and speak to a lot of the different organisations, the GP surgeries and so on. And the truth is, you know, when we do these things as a community, they really, really appreciate it. And what is a minute for us going out and clapping to them really just reminds them, yeah, you know, the people are thinking of us, because when they're working their socks off, saving lives and helping people and supporting people, not just now, but always, you know, having that little bit of attention given to them is really important. So I'm very proud to go out. I'd do it every night if I could.
Well, yesterday, the daily press briefing was given by Matt Hancock, the health secretary. Great to see him back after being in self-isolation as well. This five-step plan about ramping up testing, is it plausible? Firstly, everyone wants to see more testing. Are we going to be seeing some of this in Watford as well?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, the goal really is to get the testing increased, which, you know, the reality is, my take on it is this, that, you know, just a few months ago, no one had even heard of this. You know, a few weeks ago, we'd only just started really getting some of the initial tests sorted, and now those tests are available. Now, I appreciate in other countries, people read the news and say, well, actually, you know, I know Germany's done very well at testing, but I think we've really ramped it up now, and the main thing that's been important, and I've learnt this being on the Health and Social Care Select Committee, that when we do the testing, it has to be accurate, because a false test is more dangerous, actually, because if a test that you take says that you've got it and you haven't, that's bad, because you could get it in the future. And if it says that you haven't got it and you do, that's really bad. So the main thing that's been happening in the background is just making sure that we've got the accurate tests, but also making sure that we can do it viably at a large scale. And I know that's been really at the heart of what the work's been going on for the past few weeks, to make sure we can do this properly and at large scale. Of course, you know, it'd be brilliant if overnight we could wave a magic wand and all of a sudden have, you know, a test for everyone at home, but sadly, and unlike Hollywood movies, it's not like that. So it's just a case of really trying to do as much as we possibly can. The main thing I'd say, though, it really is the case for the vast majority of us, is to follow the guidance around staying home. You know, stay home, support the NHS, and save lives. And I think as long as we're all following those guidelines, we'll be in a good position. And those in the front line and those who potentially have COVID-19 and everything that Matt said last night means that we can start doing that testing at that scale. But 100,000 tests a day, I think, should be a really good position in the next few weeks. And, of course, there's no lack of passion or energy, I know, from working with them directly at the Department of Health around making sure that we do everything we possibly can. And that's really what's happening at the moment, trying to fight this on all sides. And I think I'm really pleased with the community, the way that we're responding, you know, especially in Watford.
Yeah, so we will be seeing these tests coming into our Watford and our Southwest Hearts hospitals as well.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure of it. I need to go through the details with the team, because I get the updates as everyone else does, but I'll be pressing for that. But I can't see any reason why not, and I work closely with them, so I'll try and perhaps for next Friday give you a more accurate update on what will be coming through to Watford, but I have no doubt that that will be the case.
OK, we'll be continuing our chat with Dean Russell next. Let's just get one of our former Raw Vibes artists on, Jack Garrett. This is Time on Vibe Breakfast.
Us.co.uk.
8:16, Miles Blumsome here on Vibe Breakfast, joined by Watford MP Dean Russell. We've just been speaking about the testing kits coming into Watford. We're expecting to get some. Dean just needs to take a fine-tooth comb through some of the details. But something else I want to talk about, Dean, is I think the most famous three letters in the UK at the moment, which are PPE, Personal Protective Equipment. Are our NHS staff in Watford getting the equipment that they need? Are they getting the PPE they need? Because there's been a lot of stories recently of nurses, doctors not having the right PPE.
So the honest answer to that is, from a Watford General Hospital perspective, I ask the senior teams regularly, is there anything more I can do to help? And so far, the answer has been, we're on track. We've got enough for the moment. So and actually, hopefully for long term as well. So the key answer to that is, as far as I'm aware, for the hospital, we're in a good place with that, although obviously it will always be needed to have more, and I have no doubt there will be situations where there's more specific equipment needed, things like face visors and so on. So I regularly ask and try and make sure that for NHS workers on the front line that we're getting everything that we can. There is a phone number that that the NHS will be aware of, that if they need to put in four more, that should come through. But if anyone's listening who's working for the NHS or for the hospital and they find that that's not the case, please do get in touch with me direct as well, and I'll gladly follow that up. There has been a challenge with some of the GP surgeries, I'll be totally honest with you, but one of which, there was a BBC feature on last week. As soon as I found out about it, I got directly in touch with the top of the tree in the Department of Health and managed to get a shipment through for them this week. But there's still work to be done on that. But it's not through a lack of effort or lack of wanting to get it out or any political reason. It's purely just a logistical challenge, getting the PPE out everywhere. So at the moment, it's just really all hands on deck trying to get that through. There's literally a military operation to get it to everywhere that it should be. But I work very closely with all of the different organisations. Hertfordshire County Council level, I spoke to the team yesterday, again, about opportunities for PPE from elsewhere. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm doing an awful lot in that particular area behind the scenes that I'd love to share more with you on, but I don't want to A, jinx it, but B, set expectations high and then find that I can't deliver.
So, and it's the correct equipment, right? Because there's been a lot, again, in the news, a lot of different types of masks. Is it the FFP3 mask that people are saying that they need? They're getting the correct equipment that's going to best protect them from this virus.
So the equipment depends in part on where it's being used as well. So as far as I'm aware, in terms of the different types of equipment, there's an FFP3, which globally I believe there's quite a world shortage on, which is a challenge. But there's a whole load of new guidance, an updated guidance on a regular basis of which equipment should be used. So the main thing really is that if people feel that they're not being given the right equipment based on the guidance that's being given to them, A, report it, B, let me know, and I'll gladly chase and support them. But the main thing really is just, you know, we've got a machine behind the scenes working to try and get as much PPE from as many places as possible, and that's the goal, and that's what we're trying to do. I think the conversations I've had with Watford General Hospital is that they're in a good place at the moment, but of course on the ground, if people say that they're not hearing that, do let me know, and I'll follow up as well. But I think we're in a good place in Hertfordshire, and in particular in Watford, because the hospital has done an awful lot of preparation way before this ever happened. They do an awful lot of really great preparation around potential emergencies and so on, and so they were in a particularly unique position to make sure that they were able to ramp up quite early on not just on PPE, but in terms of their preparations more widely. But all I can say is that to all the staff, I'm fully behind you. I'll do everything that I can to support you, and to the team, especially the senior team at Watford General, again, I'll do everything I can, but also thank you, because they're doing an immense job, and whenever I speak to them, the amount of moving parts to this is huge, but they're on top of it, and I think they're doing an incredible job.
And how many patients, how many COVID-19 patients are we currently looking at in Watford General?
I don't have that up-to-date number right now. It'd probably be wrong of me to share it direct without checking with the hospital first. I can do a rolling brief on that if you'd like each week, but I think the main thing to note is are they coping? And so far they are. The reality is, Miles, you know, over the next 2-3 weeks, it's going to be tough, you know, without a doubt. And I have to say that with no levity or softness or anything. I mean, it's going to be a tough few weeks. I'm partly at the coal face of it in my role, and I hear a lot of news what's happening nationally. But the main thing that people can do is not get anxious about it or worry. It's just literally follow the government guidance around staying at home and self-isolation and social distancing. And if we all do that, that's going to be the difference that makes a difference. Testing is going to be really important. PPE is absolutely critical for staff on the front line and more broadly. But ultimately, if we follow the government guidance, that's what's going to stop this from spreading. That's what's going to stop people having to go into hospital or have to seek medical attention in any form. And that's what's therefore going to save lives. So there's not much, again, as I said last week, doing nothing is doing everything at the moment. And I just reiterate that to everyone who's listening that, you know, as much as these questions are really important, there's a lot of work going on in the background. But the main question is, what can I do to stop this or to slow it down? And that is stay at home and social distance. When either if you're not a key worker or you don't have to travel to work, work from home. You know, if you do have to travel for work outside of that, make sure you follow the guidance. So it's just really, really simple guidance. But really, really critical and really powerful.
Going back to Watford General, Watford Football Club offered the facilities of Vicarage Road. Do you know if they're making good use of that at Watford General at the moment?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the guys at Watford Football Club, again, I speak to them regularly. They are just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I've been working on some initiatives, but I genuinely can't share them because they're too early. To try and help the workers, the NHS workers. But Watford General and Watford Football Club are like partners in a way because the amount of times that they support things. There's a great initiative around volunteering, which is happening. One of the challenges they've got is that traditionally they've had about 1,000 volunteers within Watford General. So there are people who sort of run food to the front line, as it were, who act as sort of gophers, as it were, in the nicest possible use of the word, to get messages between people, you know, help on reception, all the stuff in the background that people can help with that don't need medical degrees or anything. And but the problem is, because a lot of the volunteers fall into the vulnerable category, the number of volunteers they've got has dropped quite dramatically. So they're currently putting a call out to get more volunteers, which are different from the community volunteers that have been called for nationally. And the truth of that is that it means that because they've got that drop, they're doing trying to do a massive increase. And on Monday, I'll be at Watford Football Club, actually taking the volunteering course.
Oh, brilliant.
Spending 3 hours there, taking a volunteering course so I can go and help myself on the front line and help support them. So on my website, I'll make sure over the next 2 or 3 days I get details up. So that we can share that.
Excellent.
So that more people can volunteer directly at the hospital.
We'll keep an eye out for your website. We'll continue the chat next. Let's get Martin Solvig on. This is Romeo and Juliet on Vibe. Miles Blumsome here, joined by Watford MP Dean Russell. And Dean, just quickly, in terms of COVID-19 and the cases in Watford General at the moment, I don't want to get too bleak here, but it's not how serious, we know it's very, very serious, but the NHS staff are doing all they can. In terms of the survival rate, how are we going?
I mean, the survival rate is, as has always been, very, very high. You know, the truth of this is that for the vast majority of people, they'll get symptoms similar to Prime Minister, you know, very mild symptoms. You know, if you look at Matt Hancock, you mentioned earlier, he was doing a press conference yesterday, a week or two ago, he had COVID. So, you know, for the vast majority of people, will be okay, absolutely fine. The issue is just for the real vulnerable people, and there have been some people, a very small number of people, who very sadly have passed away who didn't have underlying conditions, and I know there's a lot of work going into understanding what was different with them. But the vast majority of people are absolutely fine. So those few who sadly have had this and died from COVID-19, and my heart literally goes out to every family who's had that, especially those in Watford, many of which I'm aware of. But they usually have some underlying condition or a particular age or category. So the truth is, the vast majority of us will be fine. What I would say, though, is those two things together is what's so important to protect those who are vulnerable, because a lot of people may have mild conditions or not even hardly any condition, any symptoms, and not realise it. And that's why I know at the hospital they put out a press release yesterday asking for anybody, you know, pretty much banning visitors apart from very specific circumstances. And it's so important that people follow that guidance. And it's so tough, I appreciate, for some people not being able to visit relatives in hospital, but if they do, they're putting them or other people in danger, or staff in danger of having it. The bigger issue as well is that when people have got this, they're obviously having to then self-isolate. So the other risk at the hospitals and GP surgeries and elsewhere is that if they contract COVID-19, it then takes them out of the workforce for a period of time, whether it, you know, especially for many for a week or two. And so the problem then is that they can't then help others. So this really is it's a multifaceted situation. So it's not about necessarily just looking at the figures of, sadly, those who have passed away. And again, my heart goes out to the families, considerably so, because I know a few have had, few people personally who've had friends and family pass away from this. However, the vast majority of this is to make sure that people are protected in the NHS, key workers are protected, but also to make sure that people are self-isolating, just so we're not spreading it more than we should do.
In terms of yourself, I've been following you on Twitter, and I've seen that you've been out and about doing some volunteering with the local Watford charity New Hope. Tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that you've been up to over the last week.
Yeah, sure. So last week I was really pleased that we were able to get a local hotelier, Travelodge, to create spaces for people who'd been rough sleeping. It's really important that rough sleepers are in the situation where they can self-isolate. I've done an awful lot of work over the years with homelessness, and it was a passion to make sure that I worked with New Hope and the local council and Peter Taylor and the team and national government to make sure that we've got rooms for everyone. And I believe there's something, if I read it right last night, I think they're now homing about 50 people, which is incredible. So that's amazing, and also hopefully it's an indication for the long term as well about how do we start to really solve the issue of rough sleeping. Because I don't think anybody in this century should be rough sleeping, if ever. So I think that's one part. The other part that I was out most of the weekend doing was helping deliver food to vulnerable people. So I was very fortunate to spend time with Enoch from One Vision, who also works at the co-op. So I met some of their team, very much social distance. I have to say everything was done and is always done following the guidelines. But out visiting, giving food to people who really need it, dropping the bag at the doorstep, stepping many, many metres back so that we can let them know what it is when they get to the doorstep, or just leaving so that they can pick it up when there's no one around. And I just say the community spirit and the community work that's going on is incredible. And it's fulfilling for me to be able to be on the ground and helping, as well as being able to raise issues at ministerial level. Like I say, the GP surgery, I managed to get the PPE, although I appreciate, you know, there's always going to be a need for more and new equipment. But on the volunteering side, you know, there's so many things we can do. One of the things I try and make sure I do is every day take some time out to call some older residents, just to make sure that they know that there's help at hand if they need support, working with different organisations to make sure that we're giving out the right type of information, the right type of guidance, but also food and support. So there's a massive machine of stuff, and it's at multi-level, because there's the really vulnerable people who have been identified at national government level and by their GP surgeries, which are getting boxes of food. But there's a lot of people who don't fall into that category. So I've been chatting to some people who have got kids who are in the vulnerable category, and that creates an issue for their parents in terms of being able to go out or the risks to them. So there's a whole load of bits and pieces, as it were, that we've been working through for quite a few weeks. And now, you know, my time, especially because I don't need to go into Parliament, I'm not sitting on the green benches, I'm trying to spend as much time as I can in Watford, helping people on the ground, helping support them, but also shine a light on the brilliant work they're doing. One of the other things to note on that, actually, just to highlight, is, and do a bit of a plug if you don't mind, is that I've launched a new podcast. So it's called Watford Matters with Dean Russell. So if you search on Spotify for Watford Matters with Dean Russell, you'll be able to find that, and there'll be links on my website in the next couple of days, because it literally is fresh off the factory line, as it were. And that's where I'm interviewing people who are involved locally. So I'm asking some of the questions you're asking me to them. So I've interviewed the chief executive for Hertfordshire County Council, Owen, interviewed Peter Taylor, Mayor of Watford, and also Bob Jones. So those are the first three, and I'll be doing that with lots of community groups. So if anybody wants to be on the podcast, wants to talk about the work they're doing, please let me know, and I'll gladly do an interview, because I think in these times, everybody knowing what's happening and seeing that there's help out there and knowing how to contribute is really, really important.
And just to finish quickly, we're supposed to have some nice weather over the weekend, and I know it's difficult to stay in during the nice weather, but for anybody who may be thinking, oh, you know what, it's nice, let's just pop out and go for not a walk locally, might go for a drive to go for a walk or something, what's your advice to them?
Simple, please don't. You know, if you've got nice weather and you've got a garden, go out in your garden. If you've got nice weather and you perhaps can't get out, you're in the flat, just make the most of your hours, your daily exercise period. But don't travel too far, try and stay close to your house. The reality is, the more we can contain this, and that's an individual responsibility on all of us to contain this by, you know, staying at home, following the guidelines, then we will not hear the stories about the NHS being overpressured. We won't hear the stories this rising, because we'll, in ourselves, we'll have stopped it happening. And on our own, when we're at home, it probably feels like, well, I'm not really doing anything, you know, I'm not doing anything to help, you know. But you are, by staying at home, by not going for a long drive somewhere to go and take advantage of the weather, you're helping. So make sure that you follow the guidelines. You know, we've got a few weeks of this to endure, but let's find a way to get through it and connect with each other, phone people, go out in your garden if you've got one, but just don't do things that you've been asked not to, because all you're doing is putting other people at risk. Even if you don't think it, you'll have any issues.
Dean, thank you so much again. We'll chat again next week. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a nice weekend. Do get out in your garden in the sunny weather, and I'll chat to you next Friday. Cheers, Dean.